are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, June the 23rd, and Troy Weaver speaks. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast today. Troy Weaver, three things that he said that were interesting. I've also got three takeaways from his introductory video press conference. And we're also going to hear from Dev Goss, the Pistons GT team. They are back in action tonight after reaching the quarterfinals of the tip-off tournament last week. Back in the same room for the first time and back on track a little bit for the franchise. But now, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore to that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give me some love on the Twitter account for Play_Michigan as well. Check that one out, too, for the day job. But Troy Weaver, the new general manager of the Detroit Pistons, had his introductory press conference open to all to watch as well on the interwebs. Tom Gores said they were interested in him 2 years ago. And here's three things that Troy Weaver said that stuck with me, and I wanted to break them down with you guys. I don't have sound clips today. I recorded it on my phone while streaming it on my computer, but long day, and the sound bites aren't all that great either. We'll get to that too. But Troy says, we don't draft players, we draft people. When asked about the differences about the top five pick from James Edwards of The Athletic, compared to maybe later on in the draft, Troy goes on to say, we want to make sure that we get the person right. More times than not, high picks who don't pan out the way people see it, you missed on the person. We will work hard as a group with the scouting and coaching staff to make sure we get the person right. If you get the person right, the basketball will take care of itself, end quote. Thought about that. That kind of rings true when you think about it. I've never really thought about things like that. You think about busts happening because the basketball fit wasn't there, but you know, we get to a top five in a draft, all those guys are pretty good players, pretty good potential, maybe even some star potential, except for this year, of course. Happy first time the Pistons are going to be drafting high in a long time. But you got to ask questions like, who loves basketball, right? Who is ready to be an adult, a rich adult? Who is going to fight through when times get hard, right? This is a man's league. It's not going to be easy. Unless you're a transcendent star, then things might come a little bit easy. But obviously, not this year and not many years that those players are out there. So you got to find out those kind of questions from people that you aren't able to meet too much in person, watching a lot of film and doing your work behind the scenes. Obviously, Troy Weaver, a guy who's got connections in the college basketball scenes, the AAU basketball scenes, the scouting, the grit, the grimy guys in the background. But I did like that quote. That made a lot of sense to me. The second quote that stood out, he says, hopefully any good person did their work early when asked about the draft. I was fortunate enough to get out and see players earlier in the season, so now I can match that with film study and analytics study. It's an even playing field. Everyone is in the same boat. We have to work with the circumstances in front of us and come up with a sound decision, end quote. I like to hear that. I don't want to hear excuses from any team in any sport right now. This is me talking, by the way. This pandemic is kind of like the great equalizer. I think the cream is going to rise to the top, and we'll see what these Detroit sports organizations are made of. We know they're at the complete bottom, but I'm thinking of Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia in particular when maybe talking about this a little bit. They play football without much minicamp this fall and summer programs. You're just going to magnify coaches. It's going to magnify people who are able to adapt. It's going to magnify smart front offices from the bad ones. It's going to reward teams who do things right. The same goes to the draft. It's going to reward good process, how much work you did early, how many contacts you have outside of the normal, you know, assistant coach at this college. And players are all over the world right now, especially some of these top prospects playing ball in other countries, coming from other countries, coming from here and going to play in other countries. The college basketball system maybe only being there for a week of games. James Wiseman of Memphis's case, not being on campus for 4 years like the old days where you can just call up Dean Smith and ask who you should draft at that point. I also, talking about the draft process, again, Greg Polinsky brought up by everyone today. Sounds like he's going to be around for the long haul. I hope that Troy Weaver is empowered to bring along his own draft guy, his own draft people, especially if he's not seeing eye to eye with Greg Polinsky's evaluations. We know that Greg was brought in by Ed Stefanski. No one, again, for the second straight press conference, just like Dwayne Casey a couple weeks back, maybe last week, no one's mentioned Pat Garrity. So sounds like poor Pat is a dead man walking. But it sounds like Greg Polinsky is going to stay on. Why is he a golden goose, by the way? I hope that Troy Weaver has the autonomy to hire the staff below him, especially with something as important as an assistant general manager in charge of scouting or director of player personnel, those kinds of crucial decisions when we're talking about what Arntellum says is going to be 75% or 80% of the process of bringing these Pistons back to the next level is through the draft, and which is where the front offices shine if you're a good one. So if he has to keep Ed's guy because he's Ed's guy, that's bad news to me. But the quote that stood out the most, and it's just kind of more of a paraphrasing from me, is Troy Weaver just saying all the right things about connecting with the Pistons past, said it would be a team that Dave Bing and Isaiah Thomas and Ben Wallace and Joe Dumars and Rip Hamilton, etc., would be proud of and would recognize to watch, and he called it a restoring and not a rebuild. I'm not looking too much into those restoring, not a rebuild type of word. I don't think that that means that they're going to tune up this year and try to make the playoffs and not go through a full-scale rebuild. I just kind of think that's a cute way of saying this is a franchise that is a proud one that we are going to restore the glory that they had at a time. I just think that it was more of a play on words as opposed to a tell about a long-term versus a short-term versus a medium-term rebuild. And I have confidence that these guys will make the right choices, and hopefully Troy Weaver has the autonomy to make the decisions that need to be made because no one else was going to do it. So I've got three takes on the Troy Weaver press conference, and that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, the Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations, that's right, your boy Matt included, up to an additional $10,000 from the network. To make your own donation alongside of us, please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. You need it, although I don't need it because I fortunately crashed my ride before the pandemic. I've been going carless for a little while. But at some point, I'm going to get my own ride and I'm going to need to go back to rockauto.com. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even carpet for your new ride. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brands, specifications, and the prices that you prefer. I would prefer the low ones if I were you. Best of all, the prices for rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same dang parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you, and they come up with another contract and give us a whole bunch of money to continue advertising so your boy Matt can eat, can buy new podcast equipment, and can keep having the energy to deliver this to you day in, day out. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we are going to be joined by Dev Goss, the Pistons GT team. He's going to tell us all about how those guys are preparing for another week in the NBA 2K League before they take a week off for the bye. Got things rolling in the right direction right now. But some takes. You know I'm going to have takes from the press conference since we don't have games until December. No lottery till August. No draft until October. Takes on the press conference. Troy Weaver, did he win the press conference? Yeah, I'd say so. I'll also say this. Troy Weaver is not a salesman. This guy, no glitz, no glamour, not super polished on the mic, not a problem. Also, this is a guy who grinded to get where he's at, never really been public-facing. I don't have a problem with this. In fact, it's probably better. Just go win, man. Do your job. He sounds kind of like I did on the first year of the podcast. A lot of ums, a lot of uhs, a lot of ahs. In fact, that was kind of comforting for me to listen to. I used to go in and edit those out sometimes, by the way, and I still do for guests. Make them sound a little better, feel better about their appearance on the Locked On Pistons podcast, and then get excited about the time that they're asked to come back on the show. So we try to do that for the guests sometimes. A little behind-the-scenes action there. Another little behind-the-scenes action, by the way. Your boy Matt, I get like some media releases a lot of times when the news comes out, but I'm not really invited to – I'm not on the big-time media list. I don't get invited to the press conferences unless like the news asks me to fill in for Rod or something like that, or I'm filling in for AP. I just think that not a lot of clout for the Locked On Pistons podcast, even though, and I know that some of the clicks that the articles are written and there's still probably some print subscribers out there. I don't know. It just seems strange, right? And maybe we're not nice enough to the Pistons. I don't know exactly what it is, but not on the first tier of media folks. It's a different world, folks. People listen to podcasts now. They don't read the print edition of the Grand Rapids Press to get their Pistons news anymore. I don't know. Just a little sidebar from your boy who's adjusting to his new world in the digital media. Not a lot of respect for your boy. But the second takeaway from my time with the Pistons, and again, my next two takeaways might be reasons why I'm not getting the invites to the press conferences. Let's just put it that way. I can just feel the eye rolls from Ed and Arn about the questions about roles, and I get it. But, guys, it's going to be forever. I'm sorry. Ed Stefanski was brought in basically as a consultant for the Pistons from what the press release said, and he consulted that he was going to be in charge for 2 years and drove a ship that was going down. There was not a lot of easy ways to turn around the ship over the last couple of years that was going down towards the bottom of the NBA, down, down, down. But didn't jump at a chance to possibly trade Blake when he was healthy in that first year, or possibly Andre when he was an all-star, or close to an all-star in that first year, turned the Pistons into maybe the worst situation in the league in terms of hope for winning or hope for a future down the road. Neither of those things seem all that likely. Certainly winning this year is not likely. And hope for future down the road, certainly there's some hope, but there's not a lot of concrete reasons to base that on. You've got some middling prospects, a little bit of a lottery ticket in Sekou Doumbouya, and then you have a high pick in one of the worst drafts in recent memory. Not great. Again, Ed Stefanski came into a bad situation, but he certainly didn't turn it around into even an okay situation. It's still very bad. And then kind of bailed when it was time to make the hard decisions. And then went upstairs to a better office after someone else was hired. Again, I like Ed Stefanski. I think we're like similar dudes. We got the self-deprecating thing. We liked hoops. He decided at some point he's going to go into it full-time after he was like a financial planner or something like that for a while. Was on TV doing a little type of side work. And then he said one day when he was, probably 40, hey, I'm going to go do this. And he did it, and he's good at his job, and he's obviously likable guy. He's got the self-deprecating thing like I do too. But honestly, I respect it a lot. I think it's one of the smartest scams I ever witnessed, that Ed kind of just did this no accountability gig and then brought in the new guy. It's nice. It's genius. Tip of the hat. But this is the repercussions of that. Stoney is going to ask you questions about what the roles are, whose job it is, and you're going to have to kind of stumble through those answers because it was sloppily done from the top on down. And we're not going to talk about this anymore. We're probably just going to drop it from here. But it's, even still, there's just a little bit of muddiness, and we'll talk about where that muddiness comes from here with the number one takeaway. When Trader Jack was here, there was no question about who made deals. Tom Wilson did business on top of Trader Jack and on top of Joe Dumars later. So Tom Wilson was ahead on top of McCloskey on the org chart. No doubt about that. But it didn't matter when it came to players. He wasn't an old agent who signed his own players. He wasn't an old GM like Stefanski, who's technically Troy Weaver's boss. But, Joe Dumars had right-hand men in Scott Perry, John Hammond, Tony Ranzoni. But those guys you knew were under him. The buck stopped there with Joe Dumars. I'm still not really sure what Ed's role is now. He's in charge of basketball. He's Troy Weaver's boss. But Weaver's going to have control? So what do you need a boss for? I don't know. I mean, it's good to have consultants. It's good to have some older voices in the room. But why can't they just say that? Why can't they just say, Troy Weaver will make the decisions. I am technically his boss. I am here. I have been around. I've been around other organizations. But Troy Weaver will ultimately make the final decision when it comes to matters of this organization. And I know that big-time decisions require a lot of big-time input, but there's got to be some level of accountability. I know I love the collaboration. We all love workplaces that collaborate. But in Detroit sports, where it's at the complete garbage, the complete trash, the complete bottom, there needs to be accountability as well. And this is probably going to be Ed Stefanski's last year here in Detroit because his contract's ending. More power to him. Enough respect. He's probably going to be spending a lot of time in Cleveland with the Browns this year with his son, which he should, and good for him. But I wish that we'd just be a little bit more clear about some of this stuff instead of dancing around it and again, my last takeaway is maybe the root of some of this stuff. Tom Gores, we really don't need to hear from you anymore. We're good. You know, I was covering the Lions for the Detroit News the last few years. A common complaint from the media and fans of the Detroit Lions is that we don't ever hear from ownership. Martha never talks. Her husband, William Clay Ford, never talked before. Bob Quinn, the next level of leadership on a football-wise, he talks, you know, two or three times a year, does the year-ender thing, something at the combine, maybe something at the owners' meetings if the beat guys are out there. And I do think Ed and Arn should talk maybe a little bit more. But, like, I'm kind of good on Tom Gores. Maybe during the season if the team's out in L.A., opening night, something like that. Maybe once a year, year-ender kind of thing. But I don't think he needs to be there for Casey's press conference, for the introduction of Troy Weaver. I do not dislike Tom Gores. I appreciate what he does for the city of Flint. I appreciate what he does for the Pistons and the city of Detroit. There are a lot worse things of an owner than to be someone who is Tom Gores. You don't want an owner who's cheap. You don't want an owner who's a slumlord like Donald Sterling. You don't want owners who stand for the wrong things. And that's not what Tom Gores is. And I don't think he's bad as an owner. Not as bad as a lot of you guys probably do. I think that there's a self-awareness issue. He's kind of like a ridiculous-looking person, so I think maybe that's kind of part of it. He just lives in a different world than everyone, especially people in the state of Michigan, especially people in the city of Detroit and the city of Flint. You know, it's like rich guy land where no one pulls you aside. No one has that job or no one has that authority or can get in your ear and say, you know, maybe don't wear that. You know, you're going to a basketball game in Detroit. You know, maybe don't, you know, you'd have to be a little forward facing. Maybe we get more drinks after the game, that kind of thing. Pistons fans are not big on Tom Gores, but Detroit sports fans certainly are not big on Tom Gores. And when you're introducing Troy Weaver, everyone's happy. It's a good thing. We don't need Tom Gores there saying things. I like the, you know, a canned quote in the press release. That's great. That's fine. Tom Gores is a good guy. He's obviously a smart guy, but just like he's like a little bit out there, as we all can kind of tell. And there's, you need some of that to get to the levels of fame and rich guy status and wealth that he has. Of course, you need some of that outside of the box type of stuff. But Tom was asked, what did you like about Troy Weaver and why was this the right time? He said something like he's going to collaborate. He's going to listen to Arn. He's going to listen to Ed. He's going to listen to Dwayne. These guys have 100 years of experience. And he should. Troy Weaver should listen to those guys. But Pistons fans want to hear that Troy Weaver is the guy. He's going to make those decisions. He's got this deft touch of prospects, this eye for talent. And again, that's not all true. We know that, but it's what we want to hear, right? We want to hear that this guy is going to come in, make the decisions, pull the right levers, and this team's going to start going in the right direction. Now, later on, Tom did say that Troy is going to have more say than your average GM. So which is it? Is he here because he's a collaborator, or is he here because he's the guy who's going to pull the levers? And I know it's kind of both. I know that the answer is kind of in the middle, and it's hard to give a clean soundbite when you're talking about the complexities of a front a front office for a pro sports team. But when you say both things, it kind of muddies the water a little. And it's kind of the theme, a theme with Tom, because he's kind of everywhere. I think we've all been around these kind of people that are just a little bit different. Maybe they're a little bit successful, or maybe they're not quite successful, but they're just kind of everywhere with their ideas. And there's a lot of great things about these people, no doubt about it. But, you know, for these types of situations, when you've got kind of a layup, everyone feels good about everything, just put Troy, maybe Dwayne up there. Maybe have maybe you should have had a Stefanski presser before this. Maybe they missed that window. And maybe you want to put Ed or Arn up there with Dwayne and Troy, something like that. You don't need Ed and Arn. You definitely don't need Tom there. It just kind of creates more noise that maybe doesn't need to be brought onto days that are good, days that are fine, days that everyone's pretty happy about. And then you just kind of got to litigate what the words mean, litigate what they're saying, and just kind of do the same stuff that we do over and over again with this franchise. But anyway, let's move on to another franchise and talk to Dev Goss of the Pistons GT team. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Got to tell you guys about Built Bar. My mornings are the greatest they could possibly be. Getting up, getting real productive in the morning these days, surprisingly. Maybe adjusting to the sleep schedule. I don't know what it is. But the coffee, the Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. It's everything you could want before your workout, maybe after your workout, a little replenishing. Take it to the gym when the gyms are opening soon once again. Exciting stuff. Built Bars are tasty. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You have my word for that. These bars are 100% covered in chocolate, soft and easy to chew as well. Built Bars are healthy. That's the second best part of them behind the great taste. They are great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. That's just what you want. The peanut butter brownie one, listen to this. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. That'll work with the keto. Keep you under those 20 for the day. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, now we're being joined by Dev Goss of the Pistons GT team. They had a nice showing last week in the tip-off tournament, reaching the quarterfinals there. Dev, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and as we talked off the mic, you guys had just finished up practice there at the facility, and you were able to compete in the same room last week, got a couple of wins in pool play and moved on to the quarters there. Do you think that had something to do with the success for you guys, that you were able to communicate like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This team, we were told from day one, and we just knew each other so well. Like, this team was built to be in a studio atmosphere. So being able to be in the same room, communicate, have the energy, go from one guy to the next guy throughout every play in the entire game, it definitely changes the whole perspective.
And what about Demon JT in particular? Your teammate there, new to the scene for Pistons GT, but seems like he's stepping up the scoring and kind of taking up a leadership role. And do you think it has something to do with that stage of being with his teammates in the room? Do you think he's kind of gaining steam as the season goes on now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. With the season kind of being on a thin rope with us over here in Detroit, JT's definitely put it all out on the table, and he's been playing extremely well the past couple of weeks. His confidence is just getting more better and better. So right now we're riding pretty high with JT, and we're hoping he can continue to keep playing the way he's been playing.
You guys got tonight against the Celtics, 9 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock after that, and then Wednesday against the Sixers. A couple of Twitch and YouTube gaming for those platforms there. What's important for you guys to have success this week?
Both teams are very point guard dominant. They've had 2 point guards in the past 3 seasons that have really just taken over the league, honestly, and been top 3 guards back-to-back seasons. So this week we have we're trying to make the rest of the team beat us pretty much. They got 4 of the guys on the team that can play pretty well, but if you get the ball at the point guard's hands, we feel like we have a really good chance to win. We just played the Sixers. We went 1-1 in the tip-off tournament. So we're pretty sure we know them extremely well. We're confident against them. And against the Celtics, we've got a few scrims, and we performed pretty well against them. So we're looking forward to both games this week.
And I believe you guys have a bye week next week, some time off of the NBA 2K League season. Are you going to be able to travel back home, or do you have some plans around here in Michigan, or what are you kind of doing with some of the off time that you're maybe starting to get here as time goes on?
Oh yeah, I love the city of Michigan, but I got to get home for a week, man. It's I've been here for the past 3 months, haven't been able to go home, see my mom or anything since quarantine and all that. So I'm actually, I think me and a couple of the other guys are actually going home for 10 days. So I'm looking forward to getting to see my family, my dog especially, and hang out with a couple of friends and just enjoy myself. Probably go to the beach a day or two and get out in the Florida sun for a little bit.
Yeah, but you mentioned Florida. What's the must do other than the beach of a place you got to go when you get home?
Oh man, I mean, with the cases still going around, I'll probably just, you know, be a homebody, hang out with my mom. I missed her a lot. My mom was way hard, everybody knows that. So I'll probably just be at the house and then probably just go to the beach a couple of days, and that's probably it. I don't really want to get sick and come back here and it could affect me and the rest of the team. So probably just stay home and have a couple of days at the beach.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing where the NBA 2K League season goes for the Pistons GT team. Dev Goss, follow him on Twitter at iDevGoss. Celtics tonight, Sixers on Wednesday, and then a bye week next week. So good luck to you, Dev.
Hey, appreciate you for having me, man.
Thanks so much again to Dev Goss, the Pistons GT team, and thanks to the Pistons for hooking me up with the Pistons GT guys about once a week or so. Love connecting with those dudes. Love trying to grow the game. That get more people some more avenues for some more money, for some more fame, more coverage, more gambling to help out my 9-to-5 job. Maybe get the esports, a little gambling there. But yeah, give us a follow on Twitter, play_Michigan. Really appreciate you guys doing that. But that will wrap up this episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, telling you to now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys later this week.